Good morning. What a privilege and an honor to be here at this church. I've been here many times before, but it is an honor because I understand that the pastor has had some problems and he needed some help here today, and I'm certainly here willing to help out. I'm going to talk a little bit. My theme for today is listening. We know a lot of people do all kinds of things. They talk, and they don't listen. So what we want to do today is bring to you some of the things that we've done in church and some of the things that will help us on our daily operations here. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is entitled Listening. It's from James 3, beginning with verse 1. Have you ever wondered what God does in his heavens? What does the omnipotent, almighty, timeless King of the universe do? I think one of his primary activities is listening. God listens to us. The book of Exodus tells us, during the long period, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. This is in Exodus 2, chapter 20, verse 23. Later in Exodus, after the Lord delivered the Israelites from Egypt, he said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Exodus 16. The psalmist wrote, God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Now, when Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb, ready to raise Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, he looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Now God listened to the people in the Bible, and he also listens to us. He hears us when we struggle and cry out. He hears our prayers, our thanksgiving, our praise, and our laments. He even hears our unspoken communications. Through his prophet Isaiah, God said, Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. That's the kind of listener God is. He became one of us, so he knows exactly what it's like to live in our lives and face the challenges and temptations we face in Jesus. God has responded to all he hears, to all his prayers, all our prayers, our questions, our wails, our cries for mercy, our complaints, our pain. He listens, and he has answered us once and for all time, by sending his only son to die and rise for us, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus, God got really involved in our lives. In Jesus, God truly empathized with us. In Jesus, God shared our journey. In Jesus, God listened and got involved. If we follow Jesus, we too are real listeners who get involved. We emphasize, we share one another's journey. And according to James 1:19, we are quick to listen and slow to speak. It may not seem like much. Sometimes we just want to rush in and solve the other person's problems with our wise words. But instead, we learn from God's example and James that it is better to listen to enter into the other pain to understand. Now, our experienced lay ministers, and I'd like to say at this point, lay ministers from Calvary are people not ordained, but people that go out to the home, the homeless, and the home that needs the communion, and they are trained to do this kind of a service. After much listening, our few words will be much more wise and compassionate. And the wonderful surprise is that God works through our caring, listening to being about healing and peace. On the other hand, when we don't listen, when we don't shut up, our tongues can get us into lots of trouble. James in chapter 3, in his famous treatise on the tongue, and there are some serious wisdoms here for us to think about before we open our mouths to share interesting information about someone else. To understand James' viewpoint, we need to remember that in the first century there were no televisions, no computers, no mail, no cell phone or anything else with which to pass on information. There was only called oral tradition, by which information was passed around and passed down to the next generation until somebody had the time and took the time to write it down. Even the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were passed around orally until they were written after 40 years after Jesus' resurrection. So James and his contemporaries, 2,000 years ago, experienced how destructive an out-of-control tongue can be. James uses a series of metaphors to show just how dangerous even a little bit of indiscreet speech can be. The tongue is a very small part of the body, says James. But like the rudder on a ship or a bridle on a horse, the tongue can steer us either to the path of wisdom or towards destruction. It only takes a spark, misplaced, unkind, or untrue word to burn down a family or a community that has been nurtured and established like an old-grown forest. Listen again to verses 3 to 6. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at the ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very little small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. We see this in California as we speak. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body. It sets on fire the circle of nature and is itself set on fire by hell. Verse 9 says, with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we cause those who made in likeness of God. So once again, because God created us in His image, we are blessed with the ability to make choices. Each of us can choose to listen more and speak positively, or we can choose to listen less and use our tongues negatively. Before we say something to someone, how many of us take the time to think about it? If what we are about to say is going to build up the other person or build up the family or the church or the community, Or is what we're going to say about to tear down the other person, the family, the church, or the community? Are we speaking to build up or to tear down? When studying philosophy in college, Socrates was required reading. He suggested the three filters test before speaking. The first filter is truth. Are you absolutely sure the statement is true? The second filter is goodness. Does the statement say something good about the other person? And the third filter is usefulness. Is the statement useful in some way? In our lay ministry training, we spend time practicing to listen more and speak less. But even when we've learned to talk less, there are other distractions that can keep us from being effective listeners. I remember when one of our interns in St. Louis was telling me about a recent home visitation he had done. The elderly woman, who was lonely and depressed, welcomed his visit and invited him into the living room to sit down in an easy chair with the television news on in front of him. As she was telling her story, often repeating herself, he found himself listening more to the news than to her. He was embarrassed when she had asked him a second time if he would like a cup of coffee. I told him that many elderly folks living alone often have the TV on all day long. So for them, it's a very familiar background noise. I am blessed to be able to take communion to our shut-ins at Calvary. And believe me, folks, we have lots of shut-ins. And I know this story by heart. We go and we wrap and we call. I try to call ahead of time. And when we go there, they are either watching television or listening to loud music on the radio. And I sit down with my Bible open and I ask if it would be okay if we could turn off the TV and the music. And normally they would say, oh, they're so sorry. They forgot we should have turned it off. They use it so often they don't even know that it's on, but it's something there to help them in their life. I told them that many folks living alone have TV on all day. They just want the background noise. They often think of turning it off when visitors come. Now, I got time just to ask, if you can turn it off before you sit down, this is what we would like to do. And I don't really have too many problems with those folks doing that. I tell our lay ministers that you have to have the desire to be a good listener. You have to have that desire. The patience to be a good listener and the ability to listen to what's not being said, either with their body language or their surroundings. Listening is a skill we all can continue to improve on. It's a skill that is valuable for not only as a member of our congregation caring for one another, but also more caring and effective parents, spouses, bosses, employees, students, teachers, neighborhoods, and citizens. As we become better listeners, we also can become more faithful disciples. When we're truly listening to God, we're more likely to respond to what we hear. And God is talking to us all the time. By his death and resurrection, Jesus made it possible for us to have a relationship with God based on love, forgiveness, and communication. One of the best ways we can work on that relationship from our end is simply to listen to other people. Let us pray. Listening, Lord, we pour our hearts to you during this time of worship and praise, sorrow, profound need, or jealous thanksgiving. You are there for us always, listening, caring, and healing. Give us the patience, the compassion, and the skill we need to follow your example and also be good listeners. Like lay ministers, to listen to one another and use our care for one another to build bonds of Christian love between us. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayer that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we say for finishing prayer, may God's words be in your heart. May God's words be on your lips. May God's words be in your touch. May God's words direct your feet. On this day and all your days to come, may God's words be the life you live. As we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place and into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of the Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Spirit in both our actions and our words. May the Father's hand keep you from stumbling, the footprints of Jesus give you confidence to follow, and the fire of the Spirit keep you warm and safe in your walk with God this day. And we say together, Amen. Amen. Thank you.